Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Miller.
Just wanted to, you guys heard it in the prophetic song that got released there at the end, but I feel like the Lord said, Cindy, this was the whole set. And I'm like, okay. And he said, in the first song, this is what you do, you make me come alive. He's reviving and he's renewing and he's releasing new things, right? It's like springtime, right? And that was the kind of the lyrics of the song. And then on the second one, he's the lion and the lamb. He's coming as a lion and the lamb. Some people need a lion and some people need a lamb. And so however you need to receive him, to be able to receive him, but we were declaring who he was in every aspect of that, okay, that there's justice and mercy that he embodies. And then the last one in the new wine, he says, yes, I need my people to become new wine because he's actually creating a new wineskin, and that is the kingdom on the earth. We talk about needing a new wineskin that he would be able to pour wine into us, but he's like, no, you're the wine. Whoa. And I feel that really strong. He's like, you're the wine, but I need the grapes to lay down and be willing to be pressed and to be crushed, to be refined in the fire. We've been prophesying and talking about that lately too, to be refined in the fire, to be willing to be the sacrifice on the altar, because it's on the sacrifice that the fire comes. Whoa. And we need to be able to know that it's not just the enemy doing stuff. And we keep talking about the enemy's doing stuff. People keep talking about, well, look at what the enemy's doing or whatever. And what we need to recognize is the Father that's doing stuff. And we need to be able to see with his eyes what he's doing. But he needs us to be able to embrace. We know that not everything is from the Father. You hearing me? Don't misunderstand. All the stuff you go through is not from the Father. Because if it doesn't exist in heaven, then it's not him. Amen? Okay? If it doesn't exist in heaven, it's not him. But he will refine us because the gifts and the callings are for right now. They're not for when we get to heaven one day. We have them to be able to establish the kingdom on the earth right now. But he needs his sons and daughters to be able to be refined in that fire, to embrace that, to lay your stuff down. You don't get to have any opinions that are not his opinions. When you gave yourself to him, you became his. You are not yours any longer. You are not God. He is God. And he is calling us as his people to lay our stuff down, to lay our opinions down, to lay our positions down, unless it's his position. And if we will allow that crushing and that pressing, that song is declaring, make me new wine, because we are the new wine. He is releasing a new wineskin in the land today. We're the ones he's wanting to pour out into that new wineskin. So we have to be willing to be able to, whatever the Lord wants to do, to find that refining place. We've got to call it up. We can't be victims. We can't be, embracing persecution means refining in the fire, going, what are you doing, God? Not what the enemy is doing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Like I'm hearing him saying, he's declaring something, and even in the worship, and I didn't have that intention when I put the set together. I'm just being very real with you. But he said it as a confirmation when we came and sat down. He's like, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing a new thing. And you need to be okay with it in you first. What is he doing in you first so that you can become the new wine? Because you're the one he wants to pour out. You're the one he wants to pour out into other people and to be able to make a difference in the earth today. And so God, make us new wine. Make us new wine that we may be poured out into his new wineskin that he is laying out foundations for right now, because we're the ones he's wanting to use. It's not about just God doing it. He sent us here on the earth for a reason. Jesus prayed, God, don't take them out of this world, for they are not of this world, but protect them from the evil one, because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. That's in John. He could have prayed us out right then and there if he actually wanted us all to go. We're here to establish the kingdom on the earth. And so I really feel like corporately, the Lord is saying just what we were singing and prophesying. We have to be really intentional to understand the words that we speak, the prayers that we pray, the songs that we sing. We're declaring things. They're dangerous words. They're dangerous words. They're powerful words, because our words, our mouth can speak what he is speaking, right? And as we come into alignment with him, that's what he wants to do. He wants to use you. He wants to use every single person in this room, no matter how young, no matter how old you are, whether you think you're gifted or not, you are, because you have him. And you have the ability to absolutely transform your circle if you will let him make new wine out of you. So, Father, I thank you again that you're the one that released that song, God, that your heart came through as you wanted to declare and you wanted us to join with you in agreement that you are doing a new thing. And we see it, we receive it, God, and we want you to have your way, whatever it looks like, God. Whatever it looks like, have your way in Jesus' name. You have something?
Yeah, what I got was just goes totally with that. It was God just gave me this download during the last part of that song that we're to give him the keys to our house, which is our life and everything about us. Every key to every door, to every lock inside that house, to every lock on that property. And what he can do, he showed me when we do that, he spins with excitement. He's so excited with what he can do with that. And the word exponential is small compared to describing what he wants to do with that.
Amen. That's good. Lainey, you have some? Yeah.
Okay, and this definitely has to go with what you were saying. Typically, the Lord will show me like little pictures when I'm worshiping. And a couple of weeks ago, I just had the vision of a woman just holding up a basket of her best fruit and giving it to the Lord. Today, I had the vision of the woman giving her heart to the Lord, and he's pressing the heart. That is the wine, but it's our heart that we're giving to him.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen? Amen.
I don't know how many of you are my age or whatever. I'm in my early 40s, but do y'all remember there was a video game that was it wasn't NBA Live. It was like a street basketball game in the arcades or whatever. And whenever you start, we'll look to whenever you begin to hit shots, it'd say, you're on fire, you know, this hot zone. The message already began with what Cindy was just releasing right now. I'm sitting over here, and I kept hearing the Lord going, like, this is on fire. You need to listen. It's a now word, what God's releasing over it, too. It's such a good thing, and it's this declaration through the mouth of his people. And we need to be ready for what God's doing. So once you do this real quick, once you turn to your Bibles, I got three passages of Scripture. We're going to go to Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8, put a marker there. Psalms chapter 8, Ephesians chapter 1. Put a marker there. So Psalms 8, Ephesians chapter 1, put markers, and then flip back over to Hebrews chapter 12, keep it open. We're going to begin with that one. So Psalm 8, Ephesians 1. Hebrews chapter 12. I want to encourage you guys to bring your Bibles with you. I get it. When I go, I have a notepad or a note. I've got a journal, and I this is my Bible. I use it when I'm at conferences and stuff, so like that. So I want to encourage you guys, if you don't have a paper Bible here, at least be opening it. Don't just take what's coming out of my mouth as Scripture, okay? And it's going to flow with what we're talking about this morning. So Ephesians 1, Psalm 8, Hebrews 12. What I want to talk about this morning is specifically what Cindy began to touch on, and this is we are in a spiritual warfare time unlike anything I think that we've seen in a while. The danger, just like I talked about a second ago that talked about healing, that many times when we have symptoms, we're always looking for symptoms of what's wrong instead of looking at the symptoms of the solution that God's bringing. We look for the fruit. You're supposed to judge a tree by its fruit. Good fruit, bad fruit. Symptoms of COVID, symptoms of the flu, symptoms of a heart issue, symptoms of COPD. That's the fruit of an illness and a disease, which is evil. It's not right. It's not what God established on the earth. It's a secondary consequence of the fall of Adam. Okay? There's a scripture, too, where it says that the first Adam, through the first Adam, brought death, but in the second Adam, he brings resurrection life. So we are still living out of the secondary consequence of the first Adam's decision to separate himself from God. Jesus came and paid it all, and while we're here on earth, we can experience the fullness of resurrection life, but we all know we're going to die. Why? Secondary consequence of the first Adam. Sometimes we go, well, Lord, isn't this going to work out in the way that I think it's going to work out? And he goes, no, I already provided the solution. When you die, you don't really die. You died with me on the cross. So when your body dies, you automatically transition into the fullness of resurrection life, the fullness of new life. But we can live in this thing now. So we need to be careful when we're looking at circumstances. Exactly what Cindy talked about is that if we go, oh, the enemy's doing this and the enemy's doing this. And we need to be aware. It says, don't be ignorant of the strategy of the devil. Wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. We need to be aware. We need to be sober-minded. We need to understand that the enemy prowls around like a lion. He's trying to do stuff. But we were never told to seek after that. Seek after the signs of the way the devil's marching around. We were told to seek after what first? Come on, say it together. Kingdom. Your first priority. Because that's the only way you're going to have the proper perspective to see what the enemy's doing. If you don't seek first the kingdom, you won't have the mind of Christ or the perception of Christ to be able to interpret what the devil's doing. When we go to the negative first, we seek first after that, it actually puts a lens over our heart, a lens over our mind and understanding where we begin to interpret world events through the lens of the devil. And then we have self-fulfilling prophecies that take place. Kai, because I have the lens of the devil. I'm never supposed to do that. I'm called for the mind of Christ. I'm supposed to have the lens of him so that when I observe what the enemy is doing, I have the proper perspective to put it in its context of what God is doing with what the enemy means for evil. Do you understand that? Proper context. I see it. I see what the enemy's doing. Now I have the context of, so Lord, what are you doing with this idiot? Y'all know I'm talking about the devil. Like I said, well, I thought you were supposed to be nice to people. Not to the devil, you're not. He's my enemy. I hate my enemy because it's death, and I see what he does. So are you supposed to harbor hate? That can be a dangerous path, but the point is this. I hate what God hates. Disease, people living in extreme poverty and they have no hope. Like that's the stuff that the Lord hates. And it's exactly what the devil peddles in. Okay? So we need to be looking at this thing. Like, for example, there's, I think on the 21st of June, next week, and Father's Day is the summer solstice. It's the longest day of the year, but it's also the one that the occult worships the sun god. And there's Luciferian marches for one world order that are taking place all over cities in our nation. And here's the thing, we could go, oh, or we could do this. Let's read in Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to start in 22, just give us again. We've been reading through this scripture numerous times. I think we need to continue to hear it. Where do we come to, not what the enemy's coming to? No, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You've come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You've come to God himself, who is the judge over all things. You've come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven, who are now being made perfect. Verse 24, you've come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and the sprinkled blood, which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. Verse 25, are you ready to listen? Be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one, capital O, who is speaking. God himself is speaking right now, and we're going to look at this. I'm going to read the rest of this, and I'll give you context. Do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking, for if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject, let me hear you say reject, the one who speaks to us from heaven. He's speaking both to the church and a lost world. The one from heaven right now is speaking to the heavens and the earth. So what is he saying to you? Don't refuse to listen to what he's saying to you. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit is speaking to the lost world something. And the caution is this: we love everybody, we believe God's merciful, but we have to come to the realization that some people are going to reject him. That's why there's hell. Not because God sent them there, but because they reject him. And so God honors their choice of rejection. And so there's this voice that's going out, but we're also going to look at what the voice of God is also doing, okay? So be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who's speaking, for if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. Verse 26, when God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only, let me hear you say not only. This is in a new covenant. This is a new wine. This is a new season, new era. Then he could only shake the earth because the Christ had not yet come to deal with the principalities. So speaking to the principalities wasn't going to do anything. He had to speak to the earth to shake the people to keep them in line long enough for the Messiah to come. So listen to what it says. Not only the earth, but the heavens also. Second heaven. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed. Somebody asked me, how do you know that that this is talking about the second heaven? Because the devil is a created being. He's not eternal on his own. He's a created being. All the angels are a created being. So when it says all of creation, he's including specifically not the plants, the trees, and you and me, yes, but also the secondary angelic. So when the Lord is speaking right now, he's shaking that. When God, let's see here, this means that all of creation will be shaken and removed. Let me hear you say removed. Anything that has a voice, any belief system that is not consistent with the kingdom will be removed. What's removed mean? It's talking about removed from the place of influence and authority. That's what he's talking about. Removed from the place of influence and authority. This means that all creation will be shaken and removed, so only unshakable things will what? Be remained. So, since we are receiving a kingdom that's unshakable, let's be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear, for God is a devouring fire. Let's hit this. I'm going to read in Ephesians 1. Why don't you flip over to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to get to this in a second. But here's what I want to tell you about. Right now, the voice of heaven is shaking, and we wonder, why all of a sudden does it feel like the Luciferian groups and the Soros groups and all these other groups are all of a sudden being exposed? Is it because they're arrogant and feel like they can get away with it? Yes, but why do they feel that? Because the devil is an angel that masquerades as light. You hear what I'm saying? He doesn't come and he's not like, boo! Okay? He wants to masquerade. He wants to hide himself. And the Lord's saying in this season, in this Kairos moment, his ability to hide has been disrupted by the voice of God that's shaking the heavens and the earth. And so, yes, it causes the followers of Satan to become very blatant, very open on their motivations and their plans and things like that. Why? Because the Lord is wanting to leave no confusion about choice that we have to make, that the earth has to make. It's God's kingdom or it's hell. And y'all know me. If you're listening to me the first time, you need to listen to the rest of my messages because you know I'm not a fire and brimstone person. I'm not. Because I don't believe that is. It's the goodness of God that leads people into repentance. So the goodness of God right now is removing the deceptive spirit's ability to deceive on a massive level by shaking it. If you've ever seen a sound wave, how many people the Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire that had Venom. Okay? If y'all don't know what I'm talking about, outer space, ugly black symbiote thing jumps onto a human body and turns them evil. That'll be the best thing for you. So the human was trapped inside of this big black symbiote. This bad, his name's Venom. Okay? That gives you a short context. Sound waves in that movie. There's this scene where Spider-Man's fighting Venom and they're up by this bell. And all of a sudden, boom, he hits it and the sound wave goes out. And all of a sudden you see the venom that's held onto his body starts to shake off. And Spider-Man's like, oh, I get you. Boom, boom. And every sound wave that came out, it just, the mask was coming off, revealing what was inside. The enemy's being unmasked in a way So people ask me, well, what happened with George Floyd? The enemy was unmasked when it came to specifically a murderous spirit. Okay, without going into the race and stuff, it's revealing the heart of one that's able to hide. Okay? People want to say, well, it wasn't George Floyd, this, this, and this. When it comes to this context, it really doesn't matter. What is the Lord doing? What is the enemy being exposed with? So those that once were able to hold and hide any vain philosophy that was a contrary to the kingdom of God, you can't stay in that place any longer. You're going to be exposed. And you must be exposed. Why? Because it's the mercy and the kindness of God that will lead you to repentance. He's removing the mask so that hearts can be transformed. It's happening all over the planet. It was amazing. I was watching Sean Foyt. Had planned, you know, he's a worship leader. He's been at Bethel, but he's founded Burn 24/7, which is the house of David, the tabernacle of David idea. Burning, worshiping 24/7 brings this atmosphere of transformation on the planet. He's actually running for Congress out of California because the Lord gave him a word for that. But he's still this worship leader, and so he's been going. He went to St. Louis underneath the arch and did a hope rally, and he caught all kinds of hell for it. Both people who are Christians and those who don't. Why? Because there's exposure of the religious spirit, the political spirit, and every other spirit. I mean, I'm not into diagnosing and naming every single spirit, but when you hear what a spirit's named, you're just seeing what the fruit is on humanity. That's all it is. But the point of it is, it's all Antichrist. Then he was called to go up to North Central University up in Minneapolis. They were going to do another hope rally. It's a Christian university. Alumni came out, current students came out and began to protest him coming to the university, and all he was going to do is lead worship for the unification of what God's doing. He's got black, brown, Asian on the worship team together to worship the one true king, to bring racial healing and radical transformation on the earth, and he was being opposed by the Pharisees. I'm just going to call it what it is, because it's an exposure. Then there was threats by the Antifa groups, the anarchist groups, that came out and said, we're going to bomb, we're going to do something. And so they said, oh gosh, well we're going to pull back for the safety of people. And the Lord then opens up a door to go right down to the place that George Floyd was murdered and hold a hope rally right down there. And I was watching the video last night on Facebook. They're sharing the gospel. People are getting baptized on the streets where blood was spilled. I know it wasn't little blood, but he died. So that now in this place, the Lord is doing something. What the enemy meant for evil, okay, that was exposed. Why? So the kingdom of heaven could be established. We have to know. We have to have a mind. I was having a conversation with brother last week, and we subscribed to this because when I listen to different parties, when I listen to religious groups, when I listen to news, when I listen to political groups and stuff like that, I listen to the wide range of folks because I want to understand what's happening. And when you do that, you have to learn how to chew the meat and spit out the bone on certain things. Right, because you're trying to get a full picture, and there's a level of when we're in agreement, we have to learn how we're going to spit certain things out because we're not going to be in agreement on everything. But here's what the Lord told me this week. The only way you can do that is if you're one spirit. You have to know the spirit that you're being influenced by. Jesus never said, eat the meat that Satan's serving you and spit out the bones. Because he can tell you some facts that he knows, but he can never tell you the truth. So what's happening? I think I'm on firm ground because I think I've established these last several weeks where I stand when it comes to race relations and everything's happening. All black lives matter. All black lives matter. But there's organizations. Listen, I'm going to get to some scripture. We need to understand this. That support an anti-kingdom agenda. You separate them so that the genuine nature of what God is wanting to do, right? And the enemy's hiding this for years, been hiding agendas to twist, manipulate, control, and things like that. That's being exposed in a way that it could not, that 5 years ago was not. There's something God's doing. We need to understand this. Antifa. okay? George Soros. I don't care if they take me off of Facebook or YouTube. You understand this? There's been businesses, there's been churches that have been threatened because they dared to speak something like this. I don't care. I'm going to speak the truth in love. Because we're a lover of the what? Truth. And if we're not telling the truth, that leaves a large vacuum for the enemy to tell his truth. And then people are going, oh my God, look, the devil's doing this, and devil's doing this, and devil's doing this. And the kingdom people are time to step up and go, yeah, I see what he's doing. Here's what God's doing right now. The blood of Jesus reconciles us. We have the mind of Christ. So we need to war from the place of victory. We're not going towards victory. We're coming from victory. We need to war from the place of rest. I think it was a good word on the crown, and I was gonna jump in on it, but the Lord said, no. There's a larger word to the idea of a crown that I think you've got some stuff going. It was a good word. But here's the thing with the crown. When a king went to war, he had the crown he wore in his throne room where everybody's subjects and agreed, and then there was a crown he wore on the battlefield. Still a crown. What I'm telling you is right now, we're coming from the place of rest, but we're going to war with a battle crown. Battle helmet. Ephesians 6, you begin to go through the armor of God. The helmet of salvation is not just a foot soldier's helmet. You're a royal priesthood. So you're going to battle as a royal son or a daughter, which means you have a helmet that's also a crown. Salvation, royal thinking, sonship. It guards your mind. It's the mind of Christ. If you're called to have the mind of Christ, that means then you can't come to the battlefield anything less than the way Jesus would come to the battlefield. Did Jesus ever come to the earth as an orphan? Did he ever think an orphan thought? Did he ever tolerate orphan thinking in himself or his followers? No. He's royal. And so are you and I in redemption. We need to understand there's a battle for the mind, and we need to go to war. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to pick up in verse 15. This is why, since I first heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, that I never stopped giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Listen to this. In the knowledge of him. Let me hear you say, in the knowledge of him. So Paul's writing this letter going, hey, I acknowledge you're a saint. This is who you are. I give praise to our Father, and I'm asking him to increase his spirit in within you that would reveal wisdom. What's wisdom? Understanding what God is doing right now. You could lower it down and go and know what to do when something wrong's happening or something you didn't get, but I'm just telling you, what would God do? That's wise. What would God think? That's wisdom. Understanding the circumstances are happening. There's a lot of people who are good intentioned that aren't operating in wisdom in the way they're speaking, they're declaring, and they're interacting, and it's only throwing more fuel in the fire. It's not actually bringing reconciliation. So we have to stand in this place. He's saying that he wants to pour out his wisdom, and then listen to this, the revelation. Let me hear you say revelation. This is not a brand new revelation. Like he would give Samuel the prophet a brand new revelation, or he gave John a revelation of what was going to come in the end times. That was a different type of revelation. The revelation he's saying is he reveals to you who he really is. He reveals to you who he really is, God. Okay? And so when we're talking about this, the knowledge of him is experiential knowledge. It's epikenosis. It's something that comes from intimacy with him. And so what we need in this season is a spirit of wisdom that knows how to think and act and follow through like Jesus would from this place of a revelation of my experience of his goodness, of who he is. So if somebody tells me, this is why now when somebody goes, well, that doesn't believe in healing for today, they go, well, God just sent cancer on that person or sent cancer on me to teach a lesson. I'm like, no. That's a wrong revelation of who he is. That's a lying revelation. It's a lying spirit. Because that's not who God is. So I stand firm on this. No, here's a revelation. What's the enemy trying to convince you? God really isn't who he says he is. If he's not really who he says he is, what are you doing here? That's what I mean. The knowledge of him. Listen to this. Verse 18. I pray that the perception of your mind. Let me hear you say perception. How you perceive, okay? The perception of your mind may be enlightened, light flooding in, so you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the glorious riches of his inheritance among the saints? What's the immeasurable greatness of his dynamite dunamis power to us who believe according to the working of his vast strength? Tell me, is there anything that God's not strong enough to demolish? No. Somebody, well, why hasn't he already? Because he has also got a vast understanding of what he wants to do through eternity. I'm on his timeline. He's not on mine. So I operate in this place, but he's got this vast strength. Listen to this, verse 20. He demonstrated this power in the Messiah by raising him from the dead and seating him. Let me say seating him at the right hand of at his right hand in the heavens. Connect this. Ephesians 2:6 says, together with Christ Jesus, he also raised us up and seated us in the heavenlies. So as Christ is seated, we are raised up with Christ. And so if Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, where does that put you and me as believers? With him. We have to sola scriptura. We have to scripture. This is the word of God. It's found a firm foundation. This is what it says. And listen to this. So because he's seated in heavenly places and because we are seated with him in heavenly places, verse 21, far above, let me hear you say far above. Every word matters in this. Do you understand that? He didn't say a little above, just barely above. He uses this language that says he's far above. Now, he's in the penthouse. The devil is in the basement. Do you understand that? It's far above. Listen to this. What is he and we far above? Every ruler or principality. Every ruler or principality, the order of the demonic in the second realm. Above every authority. Listen to this. That Greek word that goes into this is specifically talking about power or authority or weight, moral influence that was given to man. Our battle's not against flesh and blood, it's against the principalities, but also he's given man authority to establish morality on the planet according to his will. And what the Lord is saying is he's far above the authority that mere governments, human governments, people don't know that want to create laws, rules, or anything that's contrary to his kingdom, and we get wigged out by that. He's going, I'm far above that. I'm for fighting against the redefinition of marriage. Absolutely, I think that's wrong. But it does not get me worried and fatigued and freaked out. Why? Because I'm seated above it. So I can actually bring transformation to it. It kills me the fact that abortion still happens today as the law of the land. But we have to understand we only will bring transformation if we don't come underneath that human authority. We're underneath his authority, and that's actually below us. The power to influence you so that you can bring about radical transformation, okay? So he demonstrated this power in the Messiah. He raised him. Together with Christ, we're raised up. Far above every ruler or principality, authority, power, and dominion, and every title given. In other words, he says, and if I didn't name it out here and you're wondering, well, I wonder if he means this, yes. What about George Soros? Yes. Okay? What about the Democrat Party? Yes. What about the Republican Party? Yes. What about the Communists? Yes. What about the Socialists? Yes. What about the Independents? Yes. What about me? Yes. Do you have a name? Do we have any nameless people in here? Above that. Whatever authority you think you carry, okay, is under him. But listen to this. Verse 22, he put everything under his feet and appointed him as head over everything for the church. Listen to this. Four matters. I read through the Greek. I read through the different translations. Some say head at, over the church. But the predominant part of it was for the church. He's the head for. He is the head of, he's the head over, but it's for the purpose of the church recognizing the head and coming into alignment with the head. Okay? So it's for the church. All these things are put underneath the feet, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. So let me ask you this. If Jesus is the head of the church, but his feet over everything else, and we're seated with him, what does that tell you about our authority to do spiritual warfare? Are you underneath the headship of Jesus? Okay. Are you seated with him in heavenly places? Okay, so all that other mess is under your feet. Stop doing warfare in the second heaven. Stop letting it hit. Remember, there's three levels of heaven. There's heaven's throne where God is at. That's the third heaven. There's the second heaven, and there's the first heaven, which would be the physical earthly realm. So think about this perspective. The second heaven and the first heaven are underneath his feet. Now, we'll read this in a little bit. That ties over to Psalm chapter 8. There's some people in the church that push this off until the millennium. But it says, when he was seated with the Father in heavenly places after completing the resurrection work. He's seated now. He has all authority now. We have all authority now. And guess what? In the millennium and years and eternity, he will still have all authority. And guess what? So will you and I, reigning and ruling with him as our head. So don't get caught up in, oh my God, I can't rest. I can't feel, no, stop. Come into the place of the one that you're seated with so you can have proper context to what he's doing. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor, listen to this, so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. We can't even stand against what the devil's doing if we don't understand who we are in him. Because we will get our tails kicked. But when we realize who we are, who has all the authority, what he's vested in us, then when I see an injustice, I can put my feet on the ground and I say, no more. I'm going to tell you this. I believe, and I've seen it happen these last several weeks, all over the nation, as the ecclesia, the governing body of Christ on the planet, not just the family of God, but those that understand that they have a governmental rule on the earth, have come into place and all these different places begin to say, we've been silent for years, and that's why abortion and racism and all this other stuff has been allowed to percolate underneath the surface. But now we take a collective stand, and we stand on the ground. Everywhere we step foot, the territory God's given us, and I stand firm against every strategy of the devil. And I speak to him, and I tell him, you are loosening your hold in this earth. If my Father's speaking to you to be shaken loose, I've been given a voice to make declarations that make the enemy tremble. How do I know this? The gates of hell will not prevail against the church, the ecclesia. Imagine gates, like there's this resounding voice of praise, of declaration that comes from the children of God that literally begins to shake the gates wide open. We're in wide awakening. It's a wide awakening that's happening, a great awakening. Everybody's going to begin wide awake, and here's what's going to happen. Choose whom today you're going to serve. Some will reject, and some will choose. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is shake the gates of hell with his voice and then present the gospel of truth to them so they have an opportunity to be without excuse on the last day. I pray for George Soros. I pray for Bill Gates. I pray for everyone. I pray for them to know the salvation of the Lord. But at the same time, my praying for them does not mean I'm going to sit back and be silent about the strategies of the enemy that they would employ in the earth to steal, kill, and destroy our nation, our city, our people. And I don't care if that's in New Braunfels, Texas, or India, or China, or South Africa. It doesn't matter. Wherever that's at, we as the ecclesia must stand and recognize, because I'm seated with him, that means I'm able to rest. Let me say, I'm able to rest. I mean, you're already seated, but just do this. Go. You feel the tension leave your body when you can rest? Have you ever tried sitting alert in your seat? Like you're really, it's not comfortable. It hurts your back, it hurts your butt, it hurts everything. Because you're trying to be alert, you know, like, it's like, no, chill. Why? You're seated with him. You already have the authority. Now, from that place stand against the strategies of the devil. He gives us weapons of warfare. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But in fact, Christ has raised us from the dead, or has been raised from the dead. He's the first of a great harvest. Let me reread this slowly, okay? Verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, and he's the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun. Let me hear you say it's begun. Okay? Through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there's an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Have you ever thought about, we talk about a great awakening, a great harvest. Did you realize that Jesus himself was the first of the harvest? Just think about that. It's not a wishful thinking that somebody who's bad is going to turn back to the Lord and I've got a loved one that's far away and are they going to be a part of the harvest or not? No. Jesus said, I not only became sin so that you may be redeemed, I became the harvest so that you can become part of the harvest and then become a harvester of what he's doing. I don't know about you, but that hit me pretty good. I like that. Listen to this. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. After that, the end will come when he will turn the kingdom of God over to the Father, having destroyed every ruler, authority, and power. Perception, perspective. What's God doing? He's destroying every ruler, every authority, and every power. Why? Not just to get you to heaven, but so he can turn the kingdom back over to his Father and say, the next part is finished. Do you understand that? The work of atonement was finished, but the work of establishing the kingdom is still ongoing throughout the planet. And at one point, he'll go, now it's fully established. Dad, here it is. Because even Jesus is subject to his Father. This is what it says. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. For the scriptures say God has put all things underneath his authority. Of course, when it says all things underneath his authority, that does not include God himself who gave Christ his authority. Talking about the Father. Then, when all things are under his authority, the Son will put himself under God's authority so that the Father who gave his Son authority over all things will be utterly supreme over everything and everywhere. How can we lose? We can't. I'm going to say this. I'm for fighting for our nation because I believe the United States has been a God-given ordination on the earth to bring freedom across the planet, unlike the planet's never seen before. It really has. However, it's still an earthly kingdom. There's no way to restore what God's wanting to do if our goal is to restore the U.S. to what was only done by failed men. Then we're going to fail ourselves. But if it is to establish his kingdom, ruling and reigning in the United States, we can't fail. Are we okay?
Amen.
All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical. They're not weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. I think we read this a lot of times because we need a pep talk. We need to go, oh, yeah, yeah, Brocky, come on. But we don't realize, we don't step into the fact that, oh, there's a stronghold. What am I going to do? I'm going to cower away. No, tear the thing down. Do you understand? This is interesting. This is so interesting. I've heard in our street, I've listened to not the protests. It's been an interesting paradigm. I'm talking about the rioters. Okay, the ones that are interested in a totally different agenda than what is happening in peaceful protests. And what I kept hearing was, well, we burned down businesses, we burned down this, we've done this. So what? Burned down. You know what they're reflecting? The Lord's going to burn it all down, but it's going to be their kingdom. It's the strongholds that are coming down. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you get the analogy? It's the gates of hell that are going to burn, and I say burn it down. Everything that lifts itself. Okay, let me read the scripture so you don't think I'm making this thing up. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. What did we just read a second ago? The revelation of the knowledge of God, who He is. So anything that lifts itself up against that, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Being in readiness to punish every disobedience when your own submission to Him in obedience are fully secured and complete. Burn it down. Why? So that the kingdom can be established. The enemy's house is burning and he doesn't know it. He thinks he's burning our nation. And listen to me, okay? I understand there's real lives and real people who are being, you know, impacted about what's happening. So this is not saying that there's not people really being hurt. But I'm saying right now we have to have the spiritual perspective of how do we bring an end to this thing? How do we stand against the strategies of the devil? We got to bring down the strongholds. How do we do that? We share the gospel. We release forgiveness. We declare innocence. Right? Not just a matter of forgiveness, but it's a release of innocence into the earth because that's what Jesus did. We receive the fullness. We become fully free. We have to stand up against this thing. And anything, let me hear you say anything. This is summarized in the scripture. Anything that's contrary to what God says or how He thinks, we must not be silent on. Church, family. If we can be loud and vocal about earthly things that have some value or honor or something like that in the earth, okay? Like I cheer for my Texas A&M Aggies. I love it. I'm ready for them to start back up. I think we got a chance in the national championship. It's okay. I'm going to cheer for it. I'm going to be vocal about that. It's okay. Soft the horns of the wicked. He and I have had this conversation. But do you hear what I'm saying? If I'm going to be vocal about that, I need to be vocal about Jesus and not be afraid if I'm going to be doxxed or if I'm going to be put down or people are going to call me wicked names. It's persecution for the kingdom's sake. And too long in the U.S., we've been shielded from persecution. We really have. And the Lord's bringing off the mask. If there's a new wine that's being poured out and we're like, yes, come on, bring it. He's like, all right, get ready. I want to pour you out on the nations. I'll just say this. Take captive of what's trying to capture you. Take captive what's trying to capture you. I know I'm a minute or two over, but let me read this. Psalm chapter 8. We got to finish with this. Yahweh our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. You've covered the heavens with your majesty. Because of your adversaries, let me hear you say adversaries. Is there any doubt about who that is and what that is? Okay. Because of your adversaries, you've established a stronghold from the mouths of children and nursing infants to silence the enemy and the avenger. Am I the only one that, like, that just went? Because of what the enemy's doing, the Lord is established in His children. You don't have to be super duper mature and have a seminary degree. You can be a babe in Christ. You can be a nursing infant. And what comes out of your mouth, what it says, an established stronghold, another translation say, established praise that actually silences the voice of the enemy. Did you hear that? Silences the enemy and the one that cries out for revenge that would stir up the mess. How are we going to destroy what's happening? We must lift up praises to Him, speak the truth about who He is in love, demonstrate it, become the Word made manifest, and that will silence the voice of the accuser. That will silence the voice of the enemy. There's people on our streets right now who are lost, who are getting caught up in the crossfire of what's happening, and they don't know where they stand, and they're lost, and they're going, there's confusion. What do I do? Do I believe this? Do I believe this? I believe this. And when we begin to establish praise, when we begin to establish a declaration of who he is, when we begin to do that, it silences the voice of influence the enemy has into those people, where we can present the gospel to them and they can come into the kingdom. So we must praise him. We must pray, but we must become the word made manifest. Jesus quoted this verse in Matthew chapter 21. He comes, this is when he clears out the temple. This is before his crucifixion. He comes in, he cleans up his father's house first, hello. What do you think God's doing right now? He came to the house of God to clean up the house of God first, okay? And then this is what he says. He entered Jerusalem, the whole city was shaking. Listen to this. This is a prophetic word. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken, saying, who is this? When's the last time that our city was shaken to the place of going, oh my God, who is this? Not out of fear, but out of wonder of something different has entered into the equation. And it says, and the crowd kept saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. They only had a revelation of Jesus as a prophet. They didn't understand he was the Messiah or that he was the king yet. But even at their level of revelation, God met them where they were at. Jesus went into the temple complex, drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple. He overturned the money changers' tables, the chairs of those selling doves, and he said to them, it is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, praises, decoration, okay? But you are making it a den of thieves. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple complex, and he healed them. Do you understand this? We preach this thing. He came in. He cleans up God's house. What immediately followed him cleaning up God's house? Healing. The lame, the broken, those who were in need of a touch of God came to the house of God, which is not this building, by the way. It's you. And healing was a result of it. But look at the look at the critics. When the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonders that he did, they don't deny that he did wonders. But here's what they got indignant about. And the children, was this kids or is this adults? This is adults, okay? Children was a term used for the children of Israel. And a chief priest or a priest says, oh, he looked at his congregation as children. And instead of fathering them, they lorded it over them. But when the one true one came in, he didn't lord it over them. He made it possible for them to be healed. But the children began to shout in the temple complex, Hosanna to the Son of David. They got touched, they got healed. And the result in the complex, the house of God, was Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And then Jesus said to him, do you hear what these children are saying? Actually, they said to him, do you hear what these children are saying, accusing Jesus? And Jesus says, yes. Have you never read, you've prepared praise from the mouths of children and nursing infants? Jesus goes back to this. This is going to bring down the strongholds. Praise, declaration, knowing who he is, taking every single thought captive you have within you and get free. Why did we do the steps to freedom in Christ? Through a leadership team first, because I want to have a company of people who have been set free to help you get free and help those who are going to be lame and burdened and broken coming in to immediately get free, because that's the gospel and that's the creation of world changers, and that's when the gates of hell crumble, because Jesus destroys the work of the devil and so do we. So won't you stand with me? God has prepared a stronghold of praise for his children to declare, both in word and action, that silences the voice of the enemy. So here's what we're going to do before we leave. We're going to take 1 minute. And a lot of times we're used to the words on the screen. how about we take 1 minute and we just use our own voice? And the Lord says, I've prepared a praise for you. I've put a praise in your mouth. So you're trying to figure it out. Say, Lord, what's the praise you've put in my mouth? What's the word? And then I'm going to give it back up to you. And in this, this is a declaration that we're taking a stand against the strongholds, the principalities, everything the enemy's trying to do in our nation. And praise will bring revival and awakening. Amen? So right where you're at, if you're at home, join us. I'm turning off my mic. And let's just take a minute. And y'all right now, just pray. Lord, you hear the cries and the praises of the people right now. And we know the fulfillment is we silence the voice of the enemy and the one who tries to take revenge. Satan, you've been put on notice that you will not have any influence in our city, in our families, in our houses, or in our minds. We come and we declare the praises of you, the revelation of who you are, Lord God. We pray for opportunities today to step into the gap and actually bring the gospel of the kingdom that would bring salvation, that would bring healing, and it would bring freedom into the fullness of what you have. And we say, Lord, we love you. We love you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength, and we will choose to love our city as we love ourselves. Have your way in us in Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Come on, give them one more shout of praise.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynb.com.